If you visit Muir Beach or live near the area, you'll notice a lot of work going on between now and October 31st. It's all part of the Redwood Creek Restoration Project. This is your wetlands.
For me, that means trying to make sure that all the aquatic critters are in the way of construction are going to be out of the way. In fact, later after this interview, I'm going to go and look at some of our fish exclosure fences, which are put at the downstream and upstream ends of our project area to make sure that they're functioning properly.
Darren Fong is an aquatic ecologist with the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. Darren mentioned critters. I asked him to describe the species that are found in the project area.
We're talking about a lot of the fish. We also have newts that need to be moved out temporarily while construction's underway. In terms of fish, we have a few species that would be in the project area. We have coho, salmon, and steelhead. Those are probably the two fish species people are most familiar with because they're, at least before they are federally listed, they're recreationally harvested. We have two lesser-known fish in this area. We have prickly sculpin and three-spined stickleback, which are interesting critters in their own right. Kind of in the non-fish end, we have two different types of newts that could be in the project area. We have California and rough-skinned newts. They're the ones that if you go over to the East Bay Parks, they shut down a lot of the roads in like Tilden and other places during the fall because these newts are the ones that are going across roads to breeding areas. There are also frogs. We have tree frogs, which are the most common species here. We probably have the occasional red-legged frog. They're not very common right now, but it's our hopes that with this restoration project that we can improve habitat conditions for the threatened California red-legged frog.
Like every amphibian, these frogs need water, but here are some more specifics.
The adults need emergent vegetation, generally in shallow areas along slow-moving water to breed. They attach their eggs to this emergent vegetation. And then the eggs hatch, and we have tadpoles that stay in the water for maybe about 6 months before they metamorphose or turn from tadpoles into little frogs. So those are kind of the basic requirements. Water, some vegetation for attaching eggs, and of course they need some cover. These frogs, although they're pretty hard to see, but for a hungry bird, they're pretty easy pickings if they don't have like large vegetation to kind of hunker down under to keep themselves out of sight.
I learned that work on the project was actually delayed when bird nesting was observed. At phase two of the restoration work, I asked Darren to talk to me about some of the other reasons why the project has to be phased over a long period of time.
We're doing a lot of the phasing to minimize the impacts on the current environment. So things like the channel construction, one of our permits requires us to construct the channel but let it wait for a year or two so that a lot of the riparian vegetation that's planted after construction matures, and then we can divert the water from the current creek into that new channel. So there are a lot of things that we're doing to help minimize construction-related impacts to the environment. As you'll notice when you go into the parking lot, there's a little creek there, which is the existing Redwood Creek. The first thing that we do is we put up fencing to make sure the fish don't go into the project area. After we do this, we have a variety of different equipment to remove the fish. We first use nets to try to round up the fish as best we can. In some areas, it's going to be difficult because there are things that are called undercut banks or areas that the creek goes underneath the banks, which you can't really get under there very well with a net. So we'll have to use a little bit of electricity to get some of the fish in harder reach areas. And then after that, we're going to be using pumps. The pumps actually take some of the water out of the creek so that the water is pulled away from the banks and concentrated in a much smaller area that we can use what are called long-handled dip nets to remove the fish. So there are kind of three major steps that we're going to take to get the fish. Well, there's some great habitat right now behind us where we're talking. There's in phase one, we created an expanded tidal lagoon with lots of wood and lots of cover. And those are features that are great for juvenile salmonids. So a lot of the fish that we capture from our current construction are going to be moved down here and also upstream outside of the project area as well.
I really do love Muir Beach, and I'm always struck by how diverse the environment and our experience is when we visit.
If you come at dusk, that little expanded wetland behind you is going to be teeming with juvenile coho and steelhead leaping to get insects. If you come later, you might see some gray fox wandering around and then bats flying in the air. And then when you come during the middle of the day, you'll probably see a lot of wading birds foraging or things that are trying to use their sight to feed. Come at pretty much different times of day, you see different critters.
My thanks to the National Park Service's Darren Fong. If you'd like to keep up to date on the restoration progress at Redwood Creek, we've got information for you at yourwetlands.org. I'm Jerry Kay.